We're back with the Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Here with our special guest, live from Miami, Florida, Jack Horkheimer, the Star Hustler.
Welcome to the show, Dr. Horkheimer.
Thank you very much.
And where are you right now?
Right here in my house in Miami, Florida, in post-Andrew time.
Post-Andrew time? What's that all about?
Well, that's after the Hurricane Andrew.
Are you cleaned up yet?
Not exactly. I have about one-third of my house still sitting in my swimming pool.
What about your Rembrandt? Have you got it dried out yet?
Not exactly.
So, we got a really huge celestial happening this week.
Free telescopes!
Oh yeah, tell us about the free telescope. Then we'll get into the really big celestial happening. How can we win a free telescope?
How can you win a free telescope? Well, you know, we're having a very, very big eclipse tonight. As the sun sets in the west, the moon will rise in the east, and it will be actually eclipsed. In total eclipse, and we want everybody across the United States and Canada, etc., to observe the color that the eclipse turns from their location and to note that color on a postcard and the location and send it to us at the Miami Planetarium.
Real descriptive, like, right?
Absolutely, and we're going to have a drawing.
Based on how creative your description is?
No way, Jose. If you write down the color of the eclipse from your location, you send it to us at the Miami Planetarium, 3280 South Miami Avenue, Miami, Florida, 33129.
Can't they just say Star Hustler, Miami?
Well, that's a possibility.
The way I understand it, I understand you're kind of like Santa Claus, and if a kid just wants to write Star Hustler, they know where to get the mail. You, Michael Jordan, and Santa Claus.
Well, actually, letters do reach me that way, but I would not guarantee it. If you really want to guarantee, you have to send your description of the eclipse to 3280 South Miami Avenue, Miami, Florida, 33129. And in January, we'll have a drawing, and actually, five people will win very beautiful telescopes.
Jack, I was wondering if you could do me a favor. You know, I try to watch your show whenever I can, and you're usually the last thing before a PBS station signs off the air. Well, around here, recently, they've been doing those fundraising things, and so the schedules have been all out of whack, and I have no idea when you come on.
I have no idea either. As a matter of fact, I call them the classical quarterly begathons.
The begathons?
Begathons.
Well, they put everything off by some crazy number, like 48 minutes.
Well,
and so you're supposed to come on at 12:30, I think, and you end up coming on at 1:18 or some craziness like that.
You know, that is a very real and a very objective possibility. And I will tell you, I object to it as a very real possibility as much as you do.
Okay, well, so tomorrow night we have the Shame on You, Christopher Columbus eclipse.
I certainly hope so. And you know, although I consider myself to be a very young man.
How old are you?
For 25 years, I have been naming eclipses. Because 25 years ago, I realized that most scientists, most astronomers, thought that lunar eclipses were rather blah.
You're kidding.
No, actually, 25 years ago, you know, long before the land of Nova, long before newspapers had science editors, long before magazines like
Omni.
Discover and Omni, long before this.
Long before Carl Sagan.
When you talked about lunar eclipses, people said, what? And I have always been excited about lunar eclipses. As a matter of fact, the reason I got into astronomy was because as a young child,
Jack, let me sidetrack you for just a second. What do you think has helped the cause of stargazing more? Either Carl Sagan himself or Johnny Carson's impersonation of Carl Sagan?
Well, I think both.
Okay, go ahead. Continue about this Shame on You, Christopher Columbus eclipse.
Well, as a matter of fact, you know, the to get serious for a moment, if we possibly can.
Oh, we'll be serious.
When we look at Johnny Carson or Carl Sagan, what we do see is the cosmos.
Right.
A very small portion thereof. And actually, folks, tomorrow night we're going to see a very beautiful eclipse.
It's going to be red, right?
What's going to happen is that we're going to see a moon rise in total eclipse, which is the same kind of eclipse that happened on February 29th in 1504. An eclipse that Christopher Columbus used to con the early American natives out of provisions.
How'd he do that?
Well, you see, back then, Christopher was in deep trouble. He had a ship that was ridden with shipworms.
What's a shipworm?
What's a shipworm?
Well, that's a very, very good question.
Is that like a seaman who won't do any work or something? Man, walk the plank, you scurvy shipworm. That kind of thing.
And he was deep out of provisions, and he had a crew that was not very very happy to be out of provisions, and they had extracted from the natives of North Jamaica quite a few provisions for several months.
That was before regulations, right?
Finally, the natives of the island got a little tired of giving free provisions to this crew from Europe, and so Christopher Columbus, being without provisions, had an almanac in hand, and he was using this almanac to determine his longitude. As a matter of fact, the eclipse of February 29th, 1504, was a very good scientific device for him to use to determine his exact longitude in these new unknown lands.
Mm-hmm.
But he decided he had another use for it. And so on the afternoon of February 29th, 1504, he called the chieftains of the island, Jamaica, together and said, you guys have not been providing us with provisions, and therefore I have consulted with my personal deity. And my personal deity tells me that unless you provide me with provisions immediately, that he is going to punish you. And as a sign of his great punishment to come, tonight I ask you to attend well the rising of the full moon. When the full moon rises tonight, you will see that my God is angry, and he will make the moon rise inflamed with his red wrath, the wrath of his personal God. And if you do not provide me with my provisions, a great punishment will come. Well, he knew that on that evening, the moon would rise in total eclipse, already eclipse. Needless to say, when the Indians saw this moon rising, totally eclipsed, they became very frightened. They went to Christopher Columbus and they said, please intercede with your personal deity and see if he will remove this punishment from us.
And did he get his provisions?
Of course.
For several months thereafter, yes, it did.
Well, okay, maybe he was sneaky, maybe he lied, and maybe he was even a racist and an imperialist. But let's give him some points for originality.
Well, perhaps.
But another point we got to make, Jack, is he's an Italian sailor sailing for Spain using a German almanac. Where's that kind of brotherhood in 1992?
Well, it is kind of cosmopolitan, isn't it?
He was a globetrotter. He was like Truman Capote.
Well, perhaps, but I cannot seriously conceive of a high-pitched voice commanding all these Indians to attend well tonight the rising of the moon.
Jack, there's a question I've been wanting to ask you ever since the first time I saw the Star Hustler on TV. You know that special effect where you're walking down from planet Saturn and all of a sudden your body disintegrates and then you reappear like that right down below it? You know where I'm talking about?
Exactly.
How do you do that?
Well, actually, I have never been able to figure it out, but when it does happen, my toenails tingle.
Well, what can we do to catch a buzz like that?
All right, Jack, here in southwestern Ohio, where and when should we look for the Shame on You Christopher Columbus eclipse?
Well, first of all, I should explain to you, all your folks out there, the Shame on You Christopher Columbus eclipse is kind of an idea I had about a year and a half ago. Because seriously, this is a wonderful, wonderful eclipse.
It's going to be pretty, isn't it?
And it's going to be absolutely magnificent. And if you go outside tomorrow night as the sun sets and watch the moon rise in
about 5 o'clock, right?
I don't know what time it'll be in your area, but when you watch the moon rise in the east, you will see a moon rise in eclipse exactly the same way it was in 1504 on February 29th. It will rise in total eclipse, inflamed with the wrath of Christopher Columbus's deity. And the wonderful thing about this is that if you watch long enough and if you extrapolate, are you in Eastern Time or are you in Central Standard Time?
We're right here.
Eastern.
You're in Eastern Time? Okay.
Yeah.
As you watch from 7:22 to 8:30, 7:22 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. tomorrow night, you will see the Earth's shadow recede across the face of the moon, and all of us like to have a lot of fun. I will tell you something about these eclipses. You know, I am 55 years old. I have been turned on to the stars and the moon for a long time. And one of the things that got me into the stars was lunar eclipses. And tomorrow night, we're going to see a repeat of an eclipse that Christopher Columbus actually used to shame, to con the American natives into giving
him. You're pretty down on this Christopher Columbus fellow, aren't you?
No, I'm not down on him. It's just that I'm not getting a moral judgment here.
He just doesn't make your toenails tangle, does he?
A lot different than, you know, today we don't think much of murdering people on the streets and carjacking, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not saying we're all that moral today. I think we're probably a lot more immoral today than we were back then. But what I'm saying is tomorrow night you're going to see a wonderful demonstration of celestial mechanics, of how the universe works. Because, you know, when you see the moon rise in total eclipse, you will be seeing a repeat of an eclipse that Christopher Columbus saw in 1504. But what's more exciting is from around 7:25 to 8:30 tomorrow night, you will be able to see the shadow of the Earth retreat across the face of the moon. Now, here's something to think of, because we all think we're so very bright, we're very so smart, we're very so brilliant.
Well, how hot's it going to be up there on the moon?
What's wonderful is that as you watch the shadow of the Earth retreat, you are seeing something that Aristotle, over 2,000 years ago, used as a proof that the Earth is round. He said that when you see the curvature of the Earth's shadow retreat across the face of the moon during a lunar eclipse, you are seeing a proof that the Earth is spherical. Now, for almost for 1,500 years, this knowledge was lost to Western man. But another thing that's happening is if you look at that moon tomorrow night from around 7:25 to 8:30 and you watch that shadow retreat across the face of the moon, it looks like it's creeping slowly across the face of the moon, but in reality, that shadow is racing across the lunar surface at a speed of over 2,000 miles per hour.
Get out of here!
And if you look at it through a pair of binoculars or through a high-powered telescope, you can actually see the shadow speeding, racing up and down lunar valleys, lunar mountains. It's an absolutely exciting thing to watch. And when you watch it, you know, because there's no atmosphere on the moon to retain heat, where the moon is in shadow, in one split second, you'll be watching a surface that is about 170 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. And as soon as sunlight touches that part of the lunar surface, the temperatures rise instantly from 170 degrees below zero to 265 degrees above zero. It's one of the incredible things that happens that cause erosional factors on the moon. But you know, we can't experience anything less like this on the Earth. As a matter of fact, it's almost impossible for us to imagine it. But this actually happens. Mr. Moore and I...
I know, Jack?
Yes, sir.
The hallway in my house will be nice and cool. Then you go into my bathroom in the summertime, and it seems like the temperature has risen 150 degrees.
You know, I can agree, but unless you've got a racing shadow...
Wait,
you're not quite exactly the same.
I have a question. This lunar eclipse, when Christopher Columbus used it to his benefit, was on February 29th?
1504.
So that was a leap year. So did all the native did all the native women ask all the native guys to get married or anything like that? Did they do that back in those days?
Only if their names were Sadie Hawkins, and they're probably too much of you young to remember that.
Okay.
Now, how many of your viewers, how many of your listeners out there remember... Al Capp and Sadie Hawkins Day.
Oh, yeah, we all remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah, that was Little Abner.
Little Abner, Al Capp, Sadie Hawkins.
Hold on. Hey, and other astronomical events happening these days. Aren't there a lot of neat things coming up before the end of the year?
Before the end of the year?
Yeah, isn't Saturn and Venus going to be conjuncting here real soon?
Well, not conjuncting at the end of the year, but actually what you're going to have, if you really want something neat, is if you want to go out this New Year's Eve at midnight, you will see something very unusual. You will see directly on the north-south meridian, that is due south, you will see the brightest star in the heaven, Sirius. And if you look almost overhead, you will see the planet Mars, which is coming into opposition. It will be in opposition only 7 days later. So for New Year's Eve, if you go outside and look up at midnight, you will see a brilliant orange planet almost overhead, and just below it towards the south, the brightest star in the heavens, incredible Sirius.
Well, Jack, we sure appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us. We enjoy your show every night on PBS. And again, tell us how we can win a free telescope.
If you want to win a free telescope by watching the lunar eclipse, all you have to do, my friends, is watch the lunar eclipse tomorrow night. Kind of make a mental note of what color it turns, and then write us on a postcard what color it turned, where you happen to be, your location, and send your observations on a postcard, too. Columbus Eclipse, Miami Planetarium, 3280 South Miami Avenue. That's 3280 South Miami Avenue, Miami, Florida, 33129. That's Miami, Florida, 33129. And in January, we'll have a drawing, and five people will win.
I think you should still base the prize on how good the descriptions are.
Well,
and you should be the judge.
We'd like to do that, but the last time we did this, many years ago, we had over 200,000 postcards.
You just don't want to read them all.
I will tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. I'll make a real deal with you. If we can send all the postcards to you, and you read them all...
I'll read them all over the air. I'll read them right here on the show.
Read them all over the air live. We will have you judge them, but you become the judge.
It's a deal. You got it. We're going
to
do it.
It's an absolute pleasure always talking to you guys, and I know you have an astronomically successful show, and I hope that all you astronomical people keep looking up.